everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 136. We are live in Las Vegas again. We are at CTIA this week, and I'm Phil Nicholson, host of podcast and editor of Android Central, and I've got a pair of Andrews with me here in Vegas. I will call you Andrew 1 and Andrew 2 because I don't actually know your last names, if that's okay.
Excellent.
Okay. No, we've got Andrew Martonic from Seattle and Andrew Vaca from New York here with us. So we've been hanging out for a couple days now, and kind of a slow show. I hate to say it's a slow show. I hate to say that, like, oh my God, we had to travel across the country and go to a really cool city and eat good food and see cool stuff and then complain about it. But and I'm really not complaining about it. It's just been a slow show, right?
It's been beyond slow. You feel like you have to go get something.
Hey, hang on. This is Andrew 1 or 2.
Okay, so this is Andrew 2.
This is Martonic talking right
yes.
here.
Yes.
Shouldn't I be Andrew 2 with two N's?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. All right.
Andrew A and Andrew 1. I don't know. Anyways, so this is Andrew 2. It feels like there has to be something out there. You're walking through the show floor, and it's just all kinds of completely obscure networking things, and you feel like there has to be something.
That's not unimportant, though, because none of these toys that we use, and again, we're all kind of hardware-centric, right? But none of this stuff would work without that sort of backhaul equipment, really hardcore nerdy type stuff, right?
And there are a lot of people that are clearly very passionate about
CTI,
how all that works.
Well, and CTI has always been more behind the scenes, you know, here's what the operators have to use sort of show. And this is, what, my fourth year covering it? And so, at least in the beginning, there was a lot more, you know, hardware announcements and carriers would use it to kind of spit out the little stuff. But now, I mean, it's almost not worth their effort, right? And I'm not sure I blame them.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to call it quiet because it's not
right.
at all.
Yeah, like there are a lot of people down there doing business.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're into that sort of, you know, behind the scenes, this is how we test our network stuff, then, you know, all for it. But
And not just test, but how to run things,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. I just think that we're kind of falling out of the vertical. I think CTIA is changing into...
It's back to a trade show.
Yeah, exactly.
Is a lot how kind of CES went.
Right, right. So
there's not necessarily anything wrong with that. It's just different for our purposes. So exactly. When we say it's slow, that means, like, for us, there aren't a lot of, like, consumer announcements.
Right. It's not going to be carriers and manufacturers just rolling out new devices at keynotes back to back to back like we saw it. I mean, even compared to CES, but that's just a scale situation.
Yeah.
You know, this is a little bit smaller and just a little more focused.
So we're kind of just looking at the list of stories we've done to go through this podcast. Actually, I want to start, I think, with something Andrew and I went to. And damn it, something Andrew Vaca and I went to the other night. We had a little meeting with NVIDIA, and I just met with them last week in Santa Clara to see the Shield stuff, right, as it became official. But what was really cool is they were showing Tegra 4i. So it's Tegra 4, but it's scaled down a little bit. Not quite as powerful as the full-scale Tegra 4, but this is the one with the integrated modem on the chip, and it's a software modem. So they can change things not really on the fly, but you can change things a lot easier than you can if you're adjusting antennas and really having to go through the hardware process to do that. So what was really cool is they showed us LTE. It was Category 4 LTE, and there are different categories of LTE with different speeds. This one is, what, 150?
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
I'm going to totally... It's not gigabits. It says
Cat 4, 150 megabits per second.
Megabits, excuse me. Yes. Sorry. I know I'm getting emails already. Thanks, guys. which is, like, super fast. So this is all theoretical stuff they were showing us. But it was really cool. So they had a little network, a little cell site set up in their hotel suite where they showed us this stuff running directly to the phone, which was kind of badass.
Yeah.
Well, and when you get to make one chip and right off the line program it later for all of these different
right.
frequencies and everything, that's got to cut down on manufacturing costs.
Yeah, it's going to help the operators. It's going to help NVIDIA. None of this is coming out till, like, Q1 2014, though.
Yeah, I mean, when it's ready to be out in the public, it's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be really exciting. What we saw in the hotel room is just, you know, the seedlings of what's
right.
to come. But
they showed it connected to AT&T LTE, by the way, just to show it. Don't read too much into that. I mean, yeah, you're going to see Tegra 4 on AT&T. You're going to see it on probably all the carriers, right? Or at least, you know, just because they showed it to us on AT&T, that just means, hey, it's GSM because it's easier to do
for right.
the obvious reasons. And really, AT&T is the only option for that. I mean, you have T-Mobile LTE here, but
right.
it's newer. And so don't read too much into that. They were just showing it, hey, look, cool, it's working on a carrier. You know, obviously still bumps back down when you make a voice call. So they don't have voice over LTE yet. Nobody does. But they said when that does roll out to all the operators here, it's just a software tweak. So they're not going to have to radically change anything.
This is a big deal for NVIDIA because Qualcomm's kind of been eating their lunch in that in the LTE space because they haven't had the integrated chip with LTE on it. So this is going to be a big deal for new devices to get in with the likes of Verizon and AT&T that you know obviously have been demanding LTE for a long time.
Right. What else did we see? We saw the HP SlateBook. X2.
We did.
Which is kind of cool. It's not coming out to August, so I didn't even bother like doing a hands-on or anything. Because, frankly, it's HP, and they need to show me something more than what they've showed us so far. I mean, it looked okay. It's kind of like a slightly heavy-ish Android.
And the pricing was cheaper than what we've seen on the Transformer, right?
It was like $450, something
and
like that.
And
yeah.
it included the dock with it.
Right.
Which is about the price of what the Transformer, the latest Transformers are without the dock.
So, honestly, I'm going to worry about it more come probably July or August, you know, whatever.
Right, that was a really early announcement.
Yeah, exactly. And especially, like, I mean, we could have done, like, oh, my God, we have hands-on, but whatever. We'll wait and see.
Right.
Andrew Vaca got to play with Shield.
My first time.
And actually, and you got to see the finished Shield. So this is the consumer product. It was weird at Google I.O. last week. They had Shield there, but they had the early prototypes, the same ones from January. And at the meeting I had at NVIDIA's offices, I got to play with the finished one, same as you did. But I couldn't remember the difference. But as soon as I saw the ones at Google I.O., I was like, ooh, yeah, those are the old ones. And it's pretty obvious physical differences.
Yeah, and I mean, I think one of the things we spoke about was how some people are kind of complaining about the price and, you know, where this is going to fit into the market. But
that was my question to you, because we walked out of that meeting. And, again, most of the people worrying about the price haven't touched this.
Right.
And I understand that. So you having used this device, even for, you know, 5-10 minutes, $350. Is that too much for it?
Absolutely not.
Really?
And if you asked me that, you know, before Monday afternoon, I might say yeah. But after, you know, just spending however long we spent with it, I would, if I were an avid gamer, that would be an easy $350.
And that's really the market they're pushing it for, are hardcore gamers. This isn't for my mom.
No.
It's probably not even for me, though. I think I'm going to buy one just because it's pretty damn cool. But yeah, it's for hardcore gamers, and I'm not going to go out and build a gaming rig so I can do the Steam stuff, so I can, you know, play Steam games on it, you know, streamed over my computer. That's a really neat feature, though.
Yeah, and I mean,
it works surprisingly well.
Considering that you can carry your entire game library in your pocket, that's huge.
That's the thing I think you need to remember is, and it's a relatively stock Android device, right? And when you say stock, it's got Google Play, so any game you have now, whether or not it's optimized for Shield, you can play on it.
And that's a big part of the pricing, too. Because we look at something like the Nintendo DS or PS Vita, you're still looking at $30, $40, $50 games in a lot of cases. And if you can get this and buy Shadowgun for $6 and have a really good game.
Or if you've already bought Shadowgun, you're not going to have to buy it again.
You just plug in your Gmail account. And so you're never going to be seeing $40-something dollar games on here.
Yeah.
So you, in that case, if you plan on playing a lot of games, you could even justify the little bump in price.
I can't remember if... Yeah, I guess we have podcasted since last week, maybe. No, I was on the way home, so we had already done our podcast. So it's available for pre-order now. They went early, but as of the 20th is when it officially was going to be available. So you can pre-order it now. It's still shipping in June. They haven't given us an exact date. You can get it from Micro Center. There's a
Newegg.
Newegg Canada Computers. I forgot the name.
Yeah, one of the other Canadian.
NVIDIA is also doing it directly. That's who I pre-ordered it from just to try them and see. So I'm excited about that thing. It's different, and it's cool, and it's not cheap, but it's not that expensive.
No, we were thinking closer to $500.
I was totally
since
thinking
CES, so.
What I think is most exciting is even for non-gamers, you know, it does have certain aspects that can be translated into, you know, another wave of Android devices, you know. Clamshell, the just the speakers alone would be amazing if it were to turn into a media-centric device down
there. I know. How sick are those speakers?
Yeah, I mean, amazing.
And I mean, I've said it before. It makes the HTC One sound bad. Now, it's a different device, so it's got bass ports and more space to do that stuff. But it really sounds incredible for gaming.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of fun. So I'm curious to see once people actually get to try it and buy it and get it home, you know, what they're going to think. So we'll see.
Yeah.
What else? Should we go through the boring stuff?
I don't even care to talk about Kyocera, I don't think so.
No, do it, because I didn't see it. So, what did you guys?
Kyocera came out with two new phones. They're going to be coming to, called the Hydro Edge, Hydro Extreme. They're just follow-ups to the previous prepaid Hydro Sprint Boost U.S. Cellular. They're devices that are going to be good and cheap, and that's a market that needs to be addressed. And Kyocera always has waterproof and dustproof and all that kind of stuff, which fits in well with like the cheaper mid-range handsets.
Right.
So, you know, they're nice little phones that, you know, the low-end devices aren't terrible anymore.
Speaking of rugged, I played with the Cat B15, which apparently was announced at Mobile World Congress, and I'm sorry I missed it there. But it's not the world's worst rugged phone. I mean, it's Cat as in Caterpillar, as in, like, hardcore construction equipment, right? And if you haven't watched the video, go watch it, because I asked the guy, like, right in the middle, I'm like, he says, you know, you can drop it from 6 feet, it should be okay. I was like, can you drop it right now? Oh, sure. You know, like, almost threw it down, which is kind of impressive. I mean, it's hardcore. It's 480 by 800 display, so it's not going to knock you out of the park with specs. It's running Jelly Bean. It's got 4.1 on it, so it's, you know, got that going for it. That was kind of cool, I guess.
Sounds a lot like what the Kyocera Torque I reviewed was. I mean, literally, you can just hit it with a hammer, and it doesn't matter.
Right.
And there's a market for that.
Oh, the Torque was nice. I liked the Torque, actually.
Yeah, it was interesting.
A lot of us who saw the Torque were like, cool. What else? I saw the OtterBox for the HTC One.
Yep. The Defender and the Commuter.
It's an OtterBox.
It's an OtterBox, and it's built as well as every other OtterBox is, and it's going to, you know, not add a crazy amount of bulk, but the people that need that, but, you know, need the belt clip and need everything.
I know a surprising number of people who, like, buy those just because they're like, I need a case to drop my phone because I'm an idiot, and they just buy the OtterBox. I mean, and it's a great case, right?
Every once in a while, you know, you're going out to the beach or something,
right?
You want to be able to just put a full protection case on. And you can take it off, you know, later when you get back home.
Yeah.
And people who love OtterBoxes really love OtterBoxes.
Oh, absolutely. No, yeah. great company, great cases. And I saw it for the Galaxy S4 as well.
Right.
And the thing there is they're getting a little thinner with the same sort of protection, which is good.
Yeah. When I looked at the OtterBox Defender for the One, it's only about a millimeter thicker than the Commuter.
Right.
Which is, like, you think Defender, you think, like, a huge bulky case. But they're really working to slim those down a bit.
And that was their talking points for this week.
Yeah.
What else? I'm trying to hold off getting the good stuff, because then the podcast is over.
HTC One in Stealth Black. We haven't seen many of those sitting around.
Yeah, no, that was... In fact, I hadn't even seen that before, I don't think.
Yeah, Andrew number one poked around on that a little bit.
Yeah.
Anodized, so it feels different.
It does, yeah. I mean, it does come with a few trade-offs. It's a fingerprint magnet, like, right off the bat.
Yeah.
It smudges like hell. And it's going to chip. It's definitely going to chip. The model they had on display already showed little signs of chipping. But it is, in my opinion, much more attractive than the silver one.
That's it from HTC this week. Although, I do want to talk just for a minute. You've seen all the stories going around. Chris Ziegler from The Verge did a good post on all the... there's staff changes at The Verge. At HTC. A lot of people have left. And the thing is, all these names, these are people we've worked with and known for a long time. So I think to us, it's a big deal. You know, Eric Lin, who's been in the space forever, left a few months ago for Skype. And more marketers have left in the past week. And again, these are people I know. My question is, and I don't know the answer, I'm asking this just out loud, will it affect the end product, and will it change anything? You know, the end product has never been HTC's problem, right? We've said that for how long, and continued marketing problems, just for whatever reason, have kept their phones from being as big as they probably should be. So as you read these stories, and it's, I saw somebody I know from another manufacturer, you know, basically say, look, you know, people are going to comment on this stuff without ever having worked in the industry. And I completely agree with that. In fact, I didn't even think we were going to do a story on it. I thought I'd said not to, but, you know, whatever. Not a big deal. Last year or the year before, a bunch of Samsung employees, who we all knew by name and, you know, have had drinks with, and, like, we know these people, they left. Everybody kind of makes a big deal out of it. Samsung didn't fall down. Now, Samsung and HTC are two very different animals right now. It's almost apples and oranges, right?
Right.
So I'm a little concerned that people are going to see these stories and be, oh, my God, HTC is done for. These names are leaving. I don't know, because a lot of the – and Chris did a good job explaining this in his post that, you know, Scott Croyle is still there. Drew Bamford is still there, you know, and they're doing the things they do on the hardware and software side. And those are very important things. Maybe this is a bad thing. It's certainly bad for anyone who's left, you know, not on their own volition, I guess. Maybe it's a bad thing. Maybe it's not. Honestly, I don't know.
I mean, you could look at it the other way. Maybe it's a good thing.
Right.
I mean, no offense to the people who left, but maybe that kind of, you know, shedding the excess and getting in new blood.
Not even excess, but yeah, but new blood. I mean,
right.
I mean, God, when I left to take this job, I was burned out. I was ready to do something else. People leave jobs every day.
Yeah.
And it's a big deal for us, I guess, because we cover this industry more or less, and we know these people. So maybe it seems like a bigger deal than it is. I don't know. We'll see. God knows HTC needs to do something, and the products still aren't the problem.
It's been such an ongoing drumbeat of people just kind of, I don't know if they're waiting for something big to happen at HTC, like, you know, like you said, they're waiting for it to fail, or they're waiting for something to, like, crack wide open. But that's kind of just been, like, the underlying sentiment, and, you know, but it's always qualified by, oh, but the products are great.
And I kind of feel like I'm drinking the Kool-Aid when I say that. And I'll be completely honest about that. Because I know these people, too, and I know what – I think I know what all these people are capable of. Like, they do really good work. But I don't know the company. Like, I'm not there every day. I can pretend I understand it, but I don't. So I don't know. I mean, is the company going to be there in 6 more months? Probably. You know, unless you work there, you really don't know. And that's not to say you can't get some sort of insight, and that's not to say it's not important. But in the comments we see is, oh, should I go buy an HTC One with all these people leaving? And I would say, absolutely.
Right.
Why not?
Still a pretty fantastic product.
Yeah.
I think the one quick parallel that comes to mind is with HP, with when they said they're going to start getting out of consumer business,
right,
and everybody
right.
said, should I stop buying HP computers?
Well, not computers, but mobile, yeah.
Right, well, yeah, but this was, you know, just in general, should I just stop buying HP products? And it's kind of the thing, it's like, I don't think that that HTC is going to be out of business in a couple months, and you'll never be able to get warranty repairs
right.
on your One. It's and I don't think that there's really that many people that are following this at this level.
No,
and that's not going to be affecting the buying decisions of that many people. But, you know, the things that are affecting the buying decisions for other people are, you know, it's just the marketing just isn't working out for whatever reason, you know. There's a lot of components. It's not just how much money Samsung has to spend versus HTC.
And the intricacies of a company like that that's technically based, you know, in Asia, but very much run, or maybe run out of Asia and based in the, I mean, however you want to look at it, right?
Right.
I know nothing about how the politics of an Asian U.S. company like this, you know, work together. And it's, right. Unless you're there. My thing is, I just caution people reading too much into it, I think. It's not to say it's not important, not to say things aren't pretty bad, because it sounds like, you know, and I know enough people on the inside, it sounds like things are kind of weird, but I wouldn't go so far as to say don't buy an HTC One right now if you really want one.
No, I don't think that's the right reaction to have at all.
Cool. What else? What else? What else? I don't know.
Let's see.
Yeah. Oh, tell me about your Docomo thing, your translator phone, because you're pretty excited about that, Andrew.
I thought that was really interesting.
This is Martonic, by the way.
This is Andrew number two, I believe. This is really interesting only because I've spent time in Japan, and I just have always lusted after the awesome Japanese phones, and Docomo is just a huge carrier over there.
Right.
And they're bundling this service They're calling translator phone. I'm sure it sounds a lot nicer in Japanese.
I'm rating the minibar.
And so they're bundling it on all of their devices, and it has two functions. One is face-to-face. So when you're traveling, you have this conversation view, and you speak into the phone in English, Japanese, Korean, Chinese, and several other languages. And then it transcribes it to text in any other language.
Oh, it does it to text?
It does it to text.
Okay, not to voice.
Well, it does both. So it does text and then switches that so it shows the English text, then the Japanese text, and then reads the Japanese text aloud.
Wow.
So cool. It's kind of, they use the example of, you know, you're going into a store and you say, like, you know, I have a question about this. They read it, and then they hit the button on the other side that's in Japanese.
Right.
They speak in Japanese and just does the opposite back into English. And it's all threaded, and you can hit play on any of them and read them aloud again if you just want to ask the same question again. And the other part of it is they're using this same technology to do nearly real-time voice translation over the phone on phone calls. So they're saying that you could call somebody in Korea from Japan and translate, they said with about a 2-second delay. Wow. Between Japanese and Korean. I think it was just Japanese, English, and Korean right now. But that's a huge deal. And just to have it done all on the network side, it's not even on the phone. It's just really interesting, and it just shows that they're very interested in catering to the people that travel between the countries.
I wonder if you see Google doing that at some point. I mean, obviously, they've been working on the translation stuff for years.
Right. They certainly have all of the components there. But, you know, this is something that a carrier really has to do if they want to do it on the phone call side.
Cool. All right. Should we get to it? Today's excitement. If you haven't seen, I'm kind of stoked, actually.
It has to happen. You've gone through a roller coaster of emotions.
I have taken quite possibly the greatest live blog pictures I've ever taken before. And I'm a pretty horrendous photographer at times, especially in these live things. And I have way too much camera. I've got a D700, which is way more camera than I know how to use. If you remember when I was in Seoul, when I was in Korea, the LG thing, that was the first time I used it. And it was horrible. Really bad pictures. Today, I took probably the best pictures, you know, live of my career here. Of Jennifer Lopez.
At a Verizon event.
At a Verizon event, which, like, Verizon was, I guess, kind of the highlight of the show because we knew nothing about it. And was it going to be the HTC One? And, in fact, I saw a bunch of posts go up this morning saying, it's going to be the HTC One.
Reliable sources.
And
it
guess
certainly
what?
Had the most buzz of the show.
Well, it's because we're bored.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, so we get there, and I got there an hour early. And damned if it's not Jennifer Lopez kind of launching her own cell company, sort of. It's really an interesting proposition because it's, you know, she's Latino. It's targeted toward.
Right. So it's called Viva Mobile.
Viva Mobile. MOVIO with a little thing on the O. I'm sorry. I'm white. And it's a really interesting proposition. They say, you know, Latinos make up X percent of the buying public. We want to make the process, you know, enjoyable. And really the best, so she came out and gave a speech. It was really odd because she was like squinting at the teleprompter the whole time.
And the teleprompter was really high up near the ceiling, so she's kind of looking off into space.
Yeah.
But.
So when she looked weird, that's why. You know, beautiful white dress. very attractive woman. But I think the best part of that whole thing was Mark Spoonhour from Laptop Mag asked the question in the Q&A and said, look, you're describing this really awesome carrier store experience, basically. Like, people are going to come to your stores in Miami, L.A., and New York and have this really good experience. It's going to be nice. It's going to be pretty. When, you know, is Verizon going to do this with their stores? Because, and I've bitched about this for I don't know how long, you know, I would rather go to the dentist than a carrier store.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do think that, you know, this is a strategic move for Verizon.
So we can back up really quick because I don't think we explained
what it is. Yeah. All right, so explain what it is.
So please. Viva Mobile is effectively a virtual operator that is just going to resell Verizon service just right by the book. It's going to be the same plans, the same devices, everything. So it's really just going to be a different retail experience targeted at a Latino audience.
Yep.
So, yeah. Anyways, that's kind of your baseline.
Yeah, and I mean, going back to my point coming from, you know, you ride the subway in the morning in New York City, every ad is for, you know, targeted to Latinos now.
Oh, is it?
For wireless carriers. I mean, you, Metro...
I tell you, it's no different than any other... It's almost like a publication, like an editorial publication that says, all right, we're lacking in this demographic, so that's who we're going to... And make no mistake, when you see stuff like that, it's not on accident.
Right, and who's doing it really well right now are smaller prepaid carriers like MetroPCS and those type of companies. So this is Verizon's way of getting in there and stealing some of that energy from who has that market targeted right now.
Right, and it's very interesting, like Phil, you highlighted on this, that they're doing they're going to have completely separate stores. So they're partnering up with More Communications and...
Morehead Communications and Brightstar.
Brightstar.
Right. Brightstar does... I need to find my
notes. I believe now. Brightstar is the largest reseller of Verizon service. They manage 850 stores or something in the U.S.
Yeah.
So something crazy. And so they're partnering up to make specific stores that have all of the customer service reps are bilingual.
Brightstar does distribution and services. Morehead Communications is Verizon's premium retailer.
Okay, so whatever that means. Swapped.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing. Like, it's a Verizon thing, but it's not.
Right. There's very little Verizon branding in the entire thing. When you go to select plans on the website, it says it's Verizon.
It's basically an MVNO, but not really.
Because you're still signing to your contracts, you're still, you know, Verizon devices.
If they make the buying experience better, and there's some Facebook, you know, aspect of all this, yes. But whatever. If they make the experience of going into a store better because you have people who speak Spanish or, you know, actually know what they're talking about.
Right.
I'm all for it.
They showed some snapshots of what they envisioned the stores look like. They're a little more kind of just loungy, mm-hmm. and kind of more of a group buying experience. They said they have play areas for kids to stay entertained while the parents talk.
The carrier store is just an abomination, and I don't want to pick on any of them because they're all the same, basically. It's horrible.
And so if Verizon can learn anything from this, I would hope that they learn something about the retail experience and all of this, at least all the research they put into it. You know, I think that you should probably think about having bilingual sales representatives in most major stores.
Right.
Not just Viva Mobile stores.
God knows, this year, I think it was the first year I went in Barcelona when I went to forget which store it was. It might have been Movistar. And, you know, they had an English-speaking guy there. Changed my life.
Right.
Here's what I need. Tell me how much. Thank you. I'm out of there.
Right.
And no fumbling through APNs, no fumbling through anything. Just, hey, how's it going?
Right.
And, you know, and that's my fault for not speaking Spanish, I know. But it, as a consumer, as a customer,
true.
It makes such a difference. Well, so I totally understand.
But even if they do, even if the customer does speak English, you know, maybe they're more comfortable speaking Spanish instead. And, you know, that's just part of good customer service.
Right.
Recognizing the market, and I'm sure that there are plenty of people of other nationalities and languages that would love to have that same experience. And you know, Verizon's a huge carrier, and you know, this is just a good idea for them. There's not a huge market for them to keep expanding to when you have 110 million customers or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, you have to start thinking of other ideas.
So we continue to wait for the Verizon version of the HTC One, which has not been announced, has been strongly hinted at in various documents, but patience. That's all I can say. It's just patience. Continued patience.
Right?
As a Verizon customer, I don't know if I have much patience.
You and I have talked about that this week, because are you going to get a GS4 or an HTC One?
I mean, I had it all planned out to go on Thursday and pick up my GS4.
Oh, and actually what you and I talked about earlier, ignore that. I was talking about the wrong phone. So.
Right. Okay, so...
Yeah, so now I've actually just screwed you up again.
Right, and I mean...
Sorry.
but there is still a part of me that's thinking maybe I should wait a little bit longer.
We're working on... In fact, I've got it written. We just need to get it thrown together, like what we consider to be the best phones right now. And actually, you two haven't seen this, so I want to hear what you guys think right now. And it is, especially Vaca, because we don't get to hang out as much as we used to. Best phone for you right now, Andrew Martonic.
Oh man!
Come on, just spot
overall. See, that's the thing. Haven't spent enough time with the One or the S4 to be able to make a huge judgment.
Oh,
I still am using my Nexus 4 regularly, and have not found a reason
to use anything else. I miss using the Nexus 4. I do. You know, being back on the one in the Galaxy S4 over the past couple months, I'm finally back on LTE for the first time since maybe 8-10 months ago.
Right.
You know, since the Nexus 4 came out, I guess. Yeah, so for me, that's been kind of a reintroduction. What about you, Vaka?
I mean, right off the bat, I'll say the HTC One is the phone to beat right now. But as a Verizon
customer, but why?
I mean, the hardware is just, you know, unbeatable. And I've used the S4 a lot, actually. And it's great. It's a huge improvement from the S3 in terms of hardware and build quality. But it's still very much a Samsung device. Whereas the HTC One is, you know, just a little bit more polished.
Right.
You know, a real sturdy device. But as a Verizon customer, I mean, there are slim pickings out there. I mean, the S4, I guess, is the phone to beat for Verizon at the moment.
And the DNA is not a bad device, and it's still going to get an update at some point.
I love the DNA.
Right, yeah. And that's been in the news a little bit. They ran a promotion that really dropped the price in the DNA, and people were thinking that means something. But the DNA is not that old. It's really not. It came out in November. It's six months old.
Yeah.
And it seems, you know, because it was just on one carrier, it was, you know, we never got the unlocked, you know, butterfly devices or anything like that. It's every bit as much of a great phone as these other devices.
And Verizon knows exactly how long it's going to sell the DNA.
Yeah.
So right.
They know what the sales numbers are.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to sunset it before it's time.
Where the hell's Motorola, by the way? I was talking to some people at breakfast this morning.
I have seen a couple of people using Droid Razors around. That's Motorola.
Dude, the Max and the Max HD are just such huge sellers. Why would they stop?
Yeah.
And they're really great devices.
Yeah, they really are.
I love Motorola's new, I wouldn't call it stock Android, but it's as close as you're going to get. And it's really, really fantastic.
I think it's so easy for those of us who live and breathe this stuff and nerd out on it to forget that, you know, the Galaxy S3 is still a huge seller.
Yeah.
The last year's phones are huge sellers and they're huge money makers for the operators.
Yep. Yep.
So it's not
and,
about
phones like the Razer HD and Razer M.
Mm-hmm.
Those came out cheap and they went really cheap really quickly. And you know, I'm sure Verizon is probably selling them for $49 on contract or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're still, I would find you'd be hard pressed to pick one up and find an app that runs slowly on it or find bad parts of the software.
Yeah,
I mean, for the Max, that's a phone that gets a lot of mileage. I mean, that's still the device to beat if you are a hardcore, you know,
road warrior
type.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just needs that huge battery.
I think we're going to see some really interesting stuff later this year, especially when you go back to what Larry Page said in the last earnings call. And you know, here are the things we're looking at. Your phone shouldn't break. You know, you shouldn't have to charge it more than once a day.
It's been the last couple of earnings calls. They've gone through these talking points and making durable devices that have really good battery life, but don't have so many compromises in them.
It's important to remember how big a ship this industry is, and it takes a long time to make big changes. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, we haven't seen anything from Motorola in a while.
And it's people get really, they get worried that there's not going to be something new from them because they keep going with this 18-month pipeline kind of company line that they have to keep going with. But That's actually what's going on. They have to get these other devices out. You know, these phones aren't just, you know, drawn up and made in 2 months and then released on a carrier. This is a really long process. And it just makes me really hopeful that we can get Motorola back on the conversation, at least in some meaningful way.
Is that it for, that's not it for CTIA, actually, because I'm still here tomorrow. You're here for half the day.
Half the day, yeah.
Maybe you'll come with me to this. Ashton Kutcher, Kelso himself.
God.
Right, we're going to see Kutcher Wireless tomorrow, right?
Oh, my God. Yes, he's announcing his own stoner network. Yeah. I don't know. He's speaking at some panel or something because he's in that iJobs movie, which, by the way, might not ever come out because apparently it's that bad.
I sure hope it doesn't.
It's supposedly that bad. I was talking to Renee Ritchie from iMore about it, and he's like, yeah, it got shelved. So I'm not quite sure what he's doing here and what he's going to talk about, but damn it, we'll live blog it, because we're live blogging fools.
Yep. That's the headline news right there.
pictures won't be as good as J-Lo.
No.
That's impossible.
Dude, she was that attractive in person, too. Like, not one... And, you know, we've been around a few celebrities at these events before, and some of them are just so caked in makeup, and it's like, eh, okay.
And we had a pretty good view. We were pretty close. We had,
dude, she was, yeah.
It was a small, I mean,
it was a really small room. Yeah.
They had it ready to go, and they did photo ops afterwards, and I mean, it was...
But, I mean, she is that attractive in person. Very, I mean, I'm sure she's very nice, too. But, you know, I mean, it's weird for us to be...
Still a very curious proposition, though.
Yeah. But, you know, we'll see how it works. They weren't going to do it if they're not going to make a little money at it.
So. Right.
So I guess that's it from Vegas. We probably won't do another podcast since I'll be the only one left here. We're not going to do a podcast on Friday, which, as Andrew Martonek reminds me, is our regular day and time now.
I believe it is now.
So we'll probably skip that because my wife's coming out on Friday, and I'm actually going to take a couple days off.
Nice.
Since I've been on the road for 2 weeks. Anything else you guys have to say?
I don't know. Any other little scraps here? I've been using T-Mobile LTE here for the first time. And I don't think many people have seen that before.
It's probably pretty
and it's pretty
low load.
It's pretty, you know, it's hard to say because you're in and out of these hotels that have really terrible service inside. And it's on high frequencies, but I'm seeing some pretty crazy speeds, and I can't wait for it to, like, more than five people in the world to be able to use it.
Right. Cool.
Yeah. We're going to have drinks with LG tonight.
Yeah.
I'm kind of anxious to chat with them to see what they think about, you know, their Optimus G Pro.
Yeah, and you reviewed that on AT&T, and you liked it. Do you still have it with you?
I do still have it with me.
You still like it?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I think LG might be the company to watch. We keep talking about HTC, but...
How long have I been saying this?
And
LG can make really good products. It's just the U.S. carriers are never picking them up.
I'm a new convert to that because, you know, I always said LG products are inferior, but, I mean, their latest batch is just pretty top-notch.
Yeah. Cool. All right, so everybody, thank you out there, and we'll probably get back to normal next week. Oh, by the way, we've got TM13, one last teaser, if you haven't seen all that hardcore stuff we're doing. So go to mobilenations.com/TM13, make sure you sign up. We're doing a big launch event. It's coming the first week of June. I can't give you the full details yet. I mean, I kind of know them. But I don't think we've announced the date yet, but look for stuff probably by the time you're hearing this podcast in early next week. We will have more details on that, so stay tuned.
It's going to be a big deal.
It's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really curious to see reaction to it. I'm finally starting to see... I mean, look, you guys know we're shooting a bunch of video and stuff, so I'm finally starting to see edited versions of it, and it looks really good. Like, it almost looks like we know what we're doing.
Almost.
Almost. Not quite. Just, you know, there's still just enough unprofessionalism. Yeah, exactly. So it, you know, it's really cool to see how it's going to turn out. So stick around for that. We're getting really close. And from Vegas, I think that's it. We're out.
All right. Later, guys.
Thanks for tuning in.